strong and mighty power. A strong and mighty tower that the righteous can run into. Hallelujah. Your name, that at the name of Jesus. The scripture tells us that there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the power in the name of Jesus. That when we don't even know what to pray, His Spirit makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. How many know that's a superpower? You have the superpower of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Hallelujah. The strength of the Almighty God. And, you know, we're talking a little bit on Wednesday nights, doing a study out of the book of Acts and talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the force of God, the strength of God, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God inside of us. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture tells us that even when we don't know what to pray, anybody ever had one of them times when you didn't know what to pray, didn't know how to pray? Or you prayed and it just didn't seem like it was, you know. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that can make intercession. It can say words I can't say. It can go places I can't go. It can do things that I can't do. Hallelujah. And the power of God in our life. How many know all of us have the power of God inside of us? Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Hallelujah. I believe that that we also need to have the expression of the Holy Ghost inside of us, which is the gift of tongues and the speaking of that and the giftings that come with us with those things. But I believe the power of God resides in all of us. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? And so that being said, that means you are a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we need to start viewing ourselves in the sense that we are stronger than we know. That there is more strength in you at times than what you think is in you. Hallelujah. And so I was a little bit torn this morning as to what direction to go because I kind of had one thought in my head and I had, you know, how sometimes you just have all those thoughts in your heads and sometimes getting all those thoughts to come together, it just don't happen. But anyway, I have lots of thoughts, random thoughts in my head, but anyway, last Sunday we talked about out of the book of Ezra, and I really felt like the Lord spoke some specific things to us out of the book of Ezra last week. And really, it was the vision of Ezra and some of those that were coming out of the captivity of Babylon and beginning to reestablish those things that have been lost. You remember that from last week? If you don't remember it and you want to hear it, it's on CD. If you don't get it on CD, it's on podcast. So you have no excuse for not knowing what the sermon was last week. How about that? Hallelujah. It's out there. So Carlin and Steve do an awesome job of getting the CDs ready of the services. We record every service that we do. So if you need to get that CD, you see Steve and Carlin, they'll see to it you get it. If you want to get it on podcast, you can bring it up on your phone, your computer, listen to it in your car, do whatever you need to. And Robert and Kelly do an awesome job of taking care of that for us. So I honor them this morning and thank you for that. Let me know the Lord spoke some specific things to us last week. Number one, you got to have a vision. Number two, you have to put resources in the hands of those who have the vision. Amen. How many know it's not just enough to have vision, but you got to be able to put resources in the hands of the visionaries and those who have a need or those who have the desire to go on in something greater. And then there has to be those who have a mind to build or have a mind or a purpose in their heart to build and to bring back what they knew in the former state. Amen? Hallelujah. There were some things that they had lost, but God was beginning to restore to them. And I really feel like we are in a time and season where I want God to begin to restore some things that have been lost. And what I'm talking about that is how many know sometimes if we're not careful, we can see ourselves get caught up in circumstances or traps or delays that sometimes delay the purpose of God in your life. Do you know anybody that the purpose of God seemed like it might be delayed in their life because other things have seemed like they have torn down some walls or some structures or some foundational things that need to be reestablished? Amen? Hallelujah. But what I loved about that scripture is it went on to say that as they began to build and they began to worship and they began to lift their voices in praise, he said the young visionaries began to shout for praise for what God was about to do, what God was about to bring to pass. But those who had seen it in their former situation wept But not in weeping for what had been lost, but weeping for what was about to be restored, what God was about to do. They remembered some things that God had promised them in the past, and they saw those things start to come to pass. But where there were some who stood there who had not seen the former things, that knew that God was up to something big and was about to reestablish some things. But what I love about the scripture, what the Lord spoke to us last week, he said, but the noise of the shout was greater than the noise of the weeping. Hallelujah. And so I'm declaring a day that we're going to begin to hear the noise of the shout greater than greater than we ever heard the sound of weeping. Hallelujah. But that our weeping is only silenced by the sound of shout and worship and praise that's in the house. Amen. How many know the very best way to silence your weeping is begin to shout your way through it. Begin to praise your way through it. Go ahead and worship your way through it. Sometimes you just got to stand up and praise no matter what's going on and begin to declare the goodness of God, that what seemed like it's been forsaken, what seems like it's been lost, or what seems like it may have been broken. Hallelujah. That God's about to bring in your days to come greater than what you ever saw in your past. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. So I love that because it said the sound of the weeping was the sound of the shouting was louder than the noise of the weeping. How many are ready for a time and season when the sound of the shouting is greater than the weeping? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, the scripture goes on to say, and I'm not going to go there this morning, but I'm just going to share the thought. Maybe I'll get there next week. I don't know, but what happens, it's not too long till you hit the next chapter, that there's some things that start to frustrate their purpose. People begin to put propaganda against them. They begin to say them things. They begin to discourage the king who'd given command. And it seems as if the purpose of God is delayed in their life. Anybody ever had things to come frustrate your purpose? Thank you, Sabrina. Hallelujah. I mean, I've had some things that come frustrate my purpose. You know, when I began to speak over these kids this morning, when we get ready to think about what we want to be when we grow up. Anybody know what you want to be when you grow up? I mean, I'm really still trying to figure that out. What I want to be when I grow up. And so what happens is we have big dreams. But somebody, a lot of times, somebody will come along and say, well, you'll never be able to do that. You don't have the grades for it, or you'll never be able to do that. You don't have the finances for it. And so we have roadblocks that say, man, I really would love to just be a doctor, or I would love to be a scientist, or I would love to be a pastor, or I would love to be, but I don't know that I have the brains for it, or I don't know that I have the finances or the means for it. And how many know we let things frustrate our purpose of what we want to do, and we convince ourselves we can't do it, and so we settle at a quarter, settle for less than what God wants for us. Do you understand what I mean? There's times in my life I settled for less because I didn't think I had it in me to do it. Do you understand that? Yeah. And there's still times I settle for less when I think, I don't know. I don't know if I got it. I don't know if I could do it. And we settle for less when we don't realize we have the greatest impartation of the power of God inside of us. That if Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. If you want it, you can have it. But how many know somebody's got to be a dreamer? Somebody's got to be a visionary. I'm a daydreamer. I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, there's all kinds of dreamers, right? And I'm a daydreamer. When I was a student in school, I was a daydreamer. I didn't like to read because I could get halfway down through the page and I've done went another place in my mind. And I can't tell you what I read on that page. Am I by myself this morning? Because my mind would wander. It would go in another direction. And I have kids in my class and we'll be doing a lesson and all of a sudden they'll say, my dog died. Well, what does that have to do with the letter A? You know, we weren't talking lessons on dogs. But how many know their brain or their mind is a whole, that tells me something, that their mind is another place. And I've told you before, I could be sitting on the couch and the news is on. And my husband will say, honey, what did they say about the weather? And I say, oh, I don't know. He'll say, what do you mean you don't know? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't hear what they said. He said, you're looking right at it. I know, but I didn't hear what they said because my mind my dog died. And so that's how my mind works. So when I tell you this morning, I get random thoughts. You know, I got to bring my mind together. Sometimes I got to bring my mind into focus. How many know sometimes you got to train yourself to focus on what's important to you? Now, I say that in joking, but how many know sometimes you have to have a dream, and you have to dream bigger than yourself. Okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about superheroes this morning. How many know Jesus is the greatest superhero? Yes. And he saved the world. Yes. But he did it with nail prints in his hands and a cross at Calvary. That's how he saved the world. Hallelujah. How many know we all have a little bit of superpower in us? Because you have the ability to be saviors to those who have needs. Hallelujah. And so you got to be able to believe in yourself. You got to be able to believe in something bigger than yourself. Hallelujah. As I was sitting this week, I'm going to try to talk fast. That gets me in trouble. My tongue gets tied. As I was sitting in our opening of school this week, we go back to school on Monday. The children will be there. All of your staff and teachers have already been there working very hard. And I was sitting in that room, and I was very encouraged by the atmosphere I was in. I'm encouraged by the staff and faculty we have in this county. We have some incredible people in this county. And I don't say that because I'm a school employee, but as I sat there, I listened to the testimony of a young girl, and I won't say her name, but she talked about a teacher who taught alternative school. And she said that he saved her life. And she talked about, I think she had between 4 and 8 credits, something like that, for her whole high school. For her whole time in high school, that's all she had accredited. And he went to the board for her and said, if I can get her to get these credits, can we graduate her? And they said, there's no way. There's no way it can be done. Well, this guidance counselor, this teacher of this alternative school, worked with this girl. She worked hundreds of hours making preparation and get ready. And she graduated with a class of 2015. She told a little bit about her story. She came out of some Baltimore City. She lost her parents. She lost her grandparents. It was just a crazy story. But somebody believed in her enough to tell her, you can do this, and you can make something out of yourself. And she stood up at that faculty and that board of faculty that day and said that teacher, and I can't even remember his name, and it doesn't matter, but that teacher cared enough about her and literally saved her life and got her a high school education that she thought she'd never accomplish. Those are superheroes to me. Those are superheroes to me. Somebody who puts their life on the line for somebody else and says, you know what? You can do this. You got good in you. Hallelujah. Another teacher was talking about a project that he took on. And if you haven't seen anything about it, our gymnasium in town has been redone. The floors have been done. They've gotten new wall pads. They've got all kinds of things. It was a $60,000+ project that needed to be done. But as you know, the budget in our county has been cut tremendously from a whole lot of reasons. And so this coach took on the project, and when he finished it, in man hours, they scraped with scrapers on the floor for hours and hours. He got a team together, finished the floor in that gymnasium, and handed a bill to our board for $1,200. That's incredible to me. That's superhero stuff. You understand what I'm saying? He said a teacher told me one time, I believe it was a teacher told him, he said, don't bring a problem, bring a solution. And he said, that has never left me. That's always stuck with me. And he said, when I came to the board, I brought a solution. He said, I didn't know where it was going to go, and I thanked them for trusting me enough to do it. And that place has been done, a $60,000 job for $1,200, because somebody believed and had a vision and said, can we build it? Yes, we can. Yeah. Hallelujah. Bob the Builder says, can we build it? Yes, we can. Hallelujah. Somebody got to have a vision of the end product of that. And so when I think about those kind of things, you know, there's a little bit of hero in all of us. And, you know, for whatever reason, and heroes aren't normally people who go around dressed like heroes. You understand what I'm saying? Most of the time, they look like Clark Kent. Or Peter Parker. You understand what I'm saying? But underneath of that shirt, there's a power that lies inside of them and a destiny and a calling that they've been called to do. How many know superpowers isn't always about being able to, what does Superman say? I got it written down. Come on, you guys know Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he has some superpowers. I wrote down a few quotes that says, if you love hard, don't apologize for your superpower. How many know love is a superpower? There's a big thing out right now that I've seen it in teaching stores. So it says, I teach, what is your superpower? Or I build, what is your superpower? Or whatever. There's a lot of things out there. What is your superpower? I saw one the other day and I love it. I didn't think it was appropriate to buy it for yourself. I think somebody else should buy it for you. It says, I'm not saying I'm Wonder Woman. I'm just saying no one's ever seen me and Wonder Woman in the same room at the same time. I love that. I love that. It's like, I need that shirt. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you shouldn't buy that for yourself. Maybe somebody else should. Hallelujah. How many know if we thought about ourselves a little bit more like that sometimes? And I'm not talking about in a prideful way. Understand what I'm saying. But we sometimes so underestimate ourselves and underestimate our calling and underestimate our gifting that we sit on it sometimes thinking one of these days I'm going to activate that or walk in that, and we delay what could be today. Amen. Stand up for what you believe in, even if it means standing alone. Giant killers raise giant killers. Character is how you treat those who can do nothing for you in return. Yoda said, do or do not. There is no try. Mighty men and women of God is who we are, and no weapon formed against us can prosper. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Hallelujah. If you believe it, you'll activate it. The definition of a hero is a person admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. It's not just the person who has a big red S on their chest. It's also a submarine sandwich. The definition of a hero sandwich. Okay, go on. A hero comes to the rescue of others. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus is my superhero. So when I was thinking about this morning, you don't have to look very far, do you, to find a hero in the Bible, a hero in the Scripture. Somebody tell me some heroes of the Bible. Samson. Wow. Esther. Shamgar. Gideon, Moses, David, Joseph, midwives, JL, Deborah, Shiphrah, Pua. I love it. I can't believe you remembered that. Way to go. Yeah, they were the midwives. Good job, girls. You all get extra points. Anybody else? What's some other heroes of the Bible? Esther, Noah. Great. The Hall of Faith is full of people that were ordinary people who did extraordinary things. Amen? That, and I believe it was, Chris said this one night in a Wednesday night Bible study, I think it was, that David had how many giant killer? 400. There were at least four other giants killed in the Bible, and they were all killed by David's men. Now that says something to me. That giant killers hang out with giant killers, number one. And where did they ever get the idea that they could kill a giant? Maybe because the man who was training them or leading them had said, hey, you can do this. I've been there. I've done that. Let me know, David's probably one of the greatest heroes, and we think about all of his feats and all of the things that David accomplished and the great heroes of faith. But I want to talk a little bit this morning, not just about heroes. I want to talk about what's your superpower. And what I mean by that, what your superpower is, what your calling, what your gifting, what your talent, where has God placed you to be? And sometimes it's not the biggest, the baddest, or the best that make the greatest of superheroes. And really, honestly, the scripture that the Lord put in my heart is out of Luke chapter 10. And we're going to go there today, and I'm not going to be long. But in Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to start at verse 25, Jesus says a parable. Now, a parable was a story that Jesus would tell to tell, to give a lesson. He wasn't just telling them about, well, something he saw on Facebook or something he read in a newspaper or something that he run across. It was a, he was trying to tell them a story with pictures to get them to understand an idea or a concept, okay? So understand that he's not just talking about the characters of this story. He's trying to tell them a bigger picture of what he's trying to say. We did a study on parables in our Wednesday night Bible study, and I wish we had recorded them. It was one of the funnest studies, I think, that we've done on a Wednesday night. It was really was enlightening. It was a lot of fun, and there's a lot of information there. But in Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up." Now, understand who he's talking to here. He's talking to a lawyer, and I'm not talking about your defense lawyer or your prosecuting attorney. I'm talking about a lawyer, one who has studied and knows the law of Moses. He knows the law. He's the religious interpreters of the law and the writings to that point. He stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He saith unto him, "What's written in the law? How readest thou?" In other words, you know the law. What's it say? And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." And he could have stopped there, but he didn't. He said, but he willing to, what? To justify himself, sent unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So here we have a picture, and we have the lawyer who is asking Jesus, and the scripture says he's asking him to tempt him to see what he would say, and his question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So number one, it's all about him, all right? And we're still asking that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Aren't you glad this morning it's not about what you do to inherit eternal life, but it's all about what he did that gives you access and opportunity to eternal life? And so he says, well, you know the law. What does it say? Why are you asking me? You know the law. You're the expert in the law. And he says, well, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your might, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you got it. Do this and live. Hallelujah. How many know he condensed a whole lot of things right there? He didn't even quote the rest of the Ten Commandments. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your might, and love your neighbors yourself. Because if we really live by those two commandments, we will fulfill everything else that was ever required of us in the law. Because if you really truly operate out of love, you will love your... I've always said as a pastor, if I can get people to fall in love with Jesus, that'll be the greatest thing that I'll ever do. If I can really get you to fall... Because if you really are motivated by your relationship with the Lord out of love, that will drive you in everything that you do. And it will spill over into how you treat your neighbor. Amen. Hallelujah, because I've told you before, people do crazy things when they're in love. I mean, you'll push the bounds of things when you're in love. You'll spend money or find a way to get money to buy that ring that you really can't afford, but you know she's going to say yes when you bring it. You do crazy things when you're in love. You'll drive through snowstorms when you're in love. You'll write them little love notes when you're in love. Oh, come on. Anybody in here in love this morning? Hallelujah. My husband did not like to drive that hill when we were dating, but on Christmas when he bought me a ring, he came up that hill in the snow with no four-wheel drive because he was in love. Hallelujah. I mean, you do crazy things when you're in love. You'll go beyond your bounds. You'll go without sleep. You know, you'll hang out to 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't even need to watch a movie. You can watch the stars because you're in love. Come on, some of you are starting to get it. And you know what? You know what? Sometimes we're in a generation now that unless we've had dinner, a movie, and everything else, we don't think we've been out on a date. I remember the days when it was just okay to sit on the porch and look at the stars and hold hands because we were in love and it was just enough to be together. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes you just need to walk on the beach and hold hands. Sometimes you just need to share an ice cream cone. Sometimes you just need to throw everything out the window, get rid of the calendar, the cell phone, and the iPad, and just go away for the day. Hop in the convertible and let the wind blow through your hair. Do whatever it is you got to do. But how many know, hang out with a person that you love? Because there's something in you when you're in love that draws you to that person. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your might. And the next is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer says to him, well, who is my neighbor? Just who is it that I have to show love to? And he goes on to say there was a certain man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. Can I tell you that this person that he's talking about here is not just talking about a person he knew once upon a time. He's talking about a people. He said, there's been people on a journey trying to get to Jerusalem, but on their journey to Jerusalem or to the city of God or to the house or the habitation of God, they have been stripped and beaten and robbed and fell among thieves who have taken from them and stole from them and have withheld them in their journey and he said, and have left them dying and bleeding along the road. And he said, there came a priest down through there. But how many know the law? I mean, we see the scripture, and it says that the priest goes over on the other side. He passes over, and he doesn't touch them. How many know under the law, he can't touch somebody who he thinks is dead? The law keeps him from being able to give to them the help that they need. The Levite walks around on the other side. How many know they weren't allowed to touch a dead body or to get themselves soiled because it could contaminate them? How many know the woman with the issue of blood put her life on the line because she said, I don't have a legal right to touch him, but I am out of options and I don't have any choice because if I touch him, I can make him unclean and I can make him unworthy, but I don't have any choice. I've been to every veterinary doctor. I've done everything I know to do. And so I'm going to put my life on the line today and I'm going to touch him, because if he doesn't make me whole, I'm going to die anyway. And I'm just going to go ahead and give it my best shot. And that's why she comes in from behind and she parts the crowd and she sneaks in and she said, if I could just touch his clothes, I won't touch his body. I won't risk corrupting him. I'll sneak in and I'll touch the hem of his garment, and by chance today I could go home clean and made whole. And so that when she does that, Jesus feels the touch of a woman who doesn't even connect with his skin. She touches his garment and he stops the procession, parts the crowds, sees a little lady laying there trembling and says, who touched me? Because I felt something. Somebody made connection with me today. And when they connected with me, I couldn't help but feel virtue flow out of me to them. I got to know who made connection today. And as she lays trembling, thinking she's now been exposed and her greatest fear has come to pass, because she's broken the law, he says to her, he begins to minister to her. He begins to give healing to her. He said, virtue has flown out of me. I felt something leave my body. That word virtue means the divine enablement to be made whole. Do you know anybody here today who needs the divine enablement to be made whole? Not just in body, maybe in mind, maybe in situations, but need the virtue of God to flow to them. Hallelujah. So the Levite and the priest, they went on the other side. They could not touch him because the law prohibited them from really making contact. But he said there was a man that went down to him and he began to pour in oil in the wine. Hallelujah. Can I say to you that this good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus who found me bleeding and dying, and found a generation and a race and a people who were bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And he said, I'm going to risk everything. I'm going to touch them. I'm going to pour in oil and wine. I'm going to cause them to be made whole. And here's the deal. I'm going to load them on my donkey. I'm going to take them to the room. I'm going to pay the price. And when I come back, if there's anything else that needs to be paid, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to pay the ultimate price because I want to see them be made whole. Hallelujah. The scripture says they fell among thieves. John 10 tells us that a thief is anybody who thinks you can come in any other way. I mean, a mentality that thinks you can come any other way except through the cross is a thief and a robber to you, and it will strip you and leave you bleeding and dying every time. Hallelujah. There is no other way except through the blood. There is no other way except through the cross. And that is a thief mentality that thinks you can make it in by feast or divers washings or by following the law or the Moses or the Mosaic system. How many of Jesus came to fulfill that system? He said, because even in its best day, it could cover your sins, but it could not remove them. But I come to give you life, and I come to give it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so he rescued him, and he poured into him, and he restored him, and he carried him to where he needed to be, and then he paid the ultimate price for him. How many know he wasn't afraid of my dirt? He wasn't afraid of my contamination. He wasn't afraid of touching me. He's not afraid of touching you. Hallelujah. But how many know we also have that same... And I want to, he said, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. How many know compassion is a superpower? It moves you to respond. It moves you to do something. He said, when he had compassion on him, he stooped down to where he was. How many know the woman who was brought to him that had been taken an adultery? The scripture says, and Jesus stooped down. I love that about that scripture. Jesus stooped down. When everybody else around her was high and mighty and pointing fingers and wanting to throw rocks, Jesus stooped down. He had compassion on us. The Good Samaritan had compassion on him. How many know compassion is a superpower? Hallelujah. What's your superpower today? Love is a superpower. Faith is a superpower. Hallelujah. And so he said, and he restored him. And he poured in oil and wine. And he paid the ultimate price for him. Hallelujah. And see, Jesus calls this person a Samaritan. He wasn't the most holy. As a matter of fact, they were rejected by the Jewish people and they were considered dogs. But Jesus all along the way made special stops at their house to make sure he included them in everything that, in restoring and healing everything that had been broken, that had been lost, that had been taken. Hallelujah. He had mercy on those who had been robbed. A thief is anything or anyone that strips you of value, strength, or purpose. I mean, there are thieves out there that will strip you of your value, your purpose, or your strength. And I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about the next door neighbor. I'm not talking about the person who wants your car or your gun. I'm talking to sometimes it's mentalities, sometimes it's actions. How many know there are things in our lives that if you're not careful and choices that we make that can rob you of the very life because we fall under the bondage of those things or come into captivity of those things. Amen. Hallelujah. We sat with some people yesterday who was telling their story and just hearing that and hearing the things in their lives that have kept them from some of the things they really wanted to have. But because of choices and things, how many know there's some thieves sometimes that come to steal, kill, and destroy? But Jesus said, I came to give you life. Hallelujah. That we don't have to fall under the bondage or the captivity of any of those things, but we can have life through Jesus. How many know heroes build heroes? Heroes build up heroes. Hallelujah. If you want to be a giant killer, hang out with some giant killers. Somebody that believes it can be done. I remember as a little girl in school, maybe you guys remember watching it. We watched a video, and it was about building some of the great bridges and things like that that they did, and some of just these super things that people have figured out how to do. And the song was Doing the Impossible. They said it couldn't be done. Do y'all remember that? Doing the impossible. They said it couldn't be done. And they would show all these things that incredible people did. We just crossed the Chesapeake Bay Bridge not too long ago. I crossed that bridge and think, who thinks this stuff up? I mean, really, don't you do that? And never once have I got out and looked at the structure of the bridge to make sure it was okay before I got on it. And I was sitting on the airplane this summer, and I just had this inkling in my mind at one point, I really should go ask that guy if he really graduated from school and if he really knows how to fly this airplane. But I've never once done that. I've got on that plane and trusted him every time, or her, to get me where I was going. I have not yet got out and looked at a bridge to see if it was safe before I got on it. But I do get on it and think about what kind of mind gets up one morning and thinks, I think we can build a bridge off over that bay. I think that we can fly an airplane. I think that we can build equipment that can move mountains. I think we can get cars. I think that we can build an apparatus that I can hold in my hand, that I can reach out to anybody in the world pretty much on. We have no excuse for ignorance because at our fingertips is the ability to Google pretty much anything you want to know. I had somebody say to me the other day, she said, yeah, we're doing some remodeling. We're trying to figure out how to put these cabinets in, and we're not sure how to put the microwave part in, how we get that microwave part to work. So we're going to Google it. I mean, know sometimes experience will help out even when you get the Google picture, but how many know? Who thought we would have this kind of technology to hold in the palm of our hands? Hallelujah. Except some brilliant mind somewhere, or just some mind or somebody who thought, I think I can do that. We watched those pictures up there. Do you think they really started out thinking they were going to be where they were? But for opportunity and open doors. I'm sure when he got ready to, was it Steve Jobs that quit Harvard? Bill Gates. I'm sure somewhere along the line when they said to him, if you quit Harvard, you're a fool. I mean, who would love to have the opportunity if he went to Harvard, you know, and had that opportunity? I'm sure somebody in his life said, you are crazy, man. But how many know there was a greater purpose for him? There was a greater vision for him. You know, and I'm trying all the time to be less of a dream crusher, a pessimist, one that says, how are you going to do that?
As a kid, he watched the space race on TV. And I was watching a documentary about him the other night because I'm a nerd and I do that. And so he just was helping and to lead the New Horizons project. They're taking photographs with a satellite of Pluto. It's 30 billion miles away from here. And they launched it, I don't know how many years ago, and they had to figure out the math to take the exact split-second images that we're still getting back from Pluto because he was a little boy that watched astronauts on TV when he was a kid. I just think that's amazing. You know, 30 billion miles away, and he's figured it out. He did it.
Absolutely. Incredible. If there's going to be moon dust on somebody's boot, might as well be mine. Right? Neil Armstrong. Somebody got to do it. Why not me? And so, you know, I love those stories, and I love that it's just ordinary people who had a vision or who had a thought or who had a dream and followed after those things. And actually, you know, and God uses us in all arenas. You know, I said at the beginning of the service, and I'll close with this. I have sat many times in my classroom and just looked out at them and shake my head. But also I sat there and say, we had one class that went through one time and they loved reading. And so I loved to read to them because they would be spellbound. It's no greater fun to read to somebody who just is eating every word you're reading to them. That is so much fun. And so you can be animated and I'm reading to them and they loved that. And so they were good at writing. They were good at reading. And I said to that class, when you grow up and when you become a famous author, I want you to remember back to this moment. Just remember us little people that help get you on your way. No doubt there could be a famous author out of that class. I have no doubt that the cure for cancer could not be in our classrooms, in our church, in our Sunday school class right now. Hearing about heroes who were ordinary people who did extraordinary things. And as I was said in that meeting the other day, the Lord said to me, build children. See, the Lord speaks to me at school, too. Build children. Build people. Don't build ministries. And don't build numbers. But build people. People build ministries. A city is known by its people as much as it is known by its architecture. And so if we really get the concept that we build people, people building people, raising leaders, raising giant killers. And we all sometimes have those weak moments when we think, you know, where is this going to go? That other thing that came to my mind this morning, the Lord said, most of the time we don't have the time for strong-willed children because how many know strong-willed children take a little more energy? But can I tell you that strong-willed children are make the greatest superheroes? They're the ones that don't take no for an answer. Those are the ones who build those bridges and there's airplanes because they've just got energy that they got to do something with if they can channel that in the right direction. See, it takes some direction and it takes some nurturing and it takes some fathering and parenting and you know, directing, because if not, that energy can be directed in a destructive way rather than a creative way. So I challenge you today, gear up, structure it, teach it. If you want it, teach it, train them, encourage them, give them something to tear up if they want to tear up and let them take it apart 10 times if that's what they want to do. Because who knows that engineering is not their gifting or their calling. Hallelujah. Empower them to be what the Lord has called them to be. And when all else fails, pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah. Because I believe in the power of prayer over our houses, our children, our callings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Things because we just keep waiting. But when Jesus came to him, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And what he was doing was testing his will. Are you willing? And a lot of times, even if we don't know the end from the beginning, a lot of it is just being willing to do what God calls you to do. And I thought about, you know, with Jack and I, we neither one really had a high school education. And we knew that anything we did had to be God, because neither one of us was smart enough to figure it out, you know. But we were willing. Whatever God said do, that's what we did. We didn't question, you know. Sometimes I would question Jack, but, but most of the time he was right, so... But we were just willing to do what he told us to do. And maybe if we'd have seen the end from the beginning, we'd have been too scared to try it. But because we didn't, because we couldn't, because we just willingly followed what we felt like the Lord had spoken to us to do. And I would have never dreamed, had God told me the end from the beginning, what would happen on this little hill. And with my family, my kids, my grandkids, and even now my great-grandkids. But I just thank God for being willing. And absolutely no glory on our part, because, you know, like I said, we just I don't know if we was dumb enough or smart enough to just do what we were willing to do. But I thought about that with the man at Bethesda. He said, first thing he said to him is, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Testing his willingness. Did he really want to be made whole? And if we really want what God wants us to do or what he's put in our heart, we will do it. And you'll look back and think, how did I do that? Or how did we do that? And we really didn't. He did. We just followed him.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes you got to risk failure to have successes. Doesn't matter how many times you fall down, it matters how many times you get back up. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a superpower in all of us. It is the gift and calling of God, the anointing, his presence. Love is a power, compassion is a power. Amen. Hallelujah. The impartation you have into the lives of children, you'll never regret as long as it's positive. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. I want to say how proud I am of the team that we have here that works with our youth and our children and of all ages and things like that. They really, truly are givers and give out of a heart of love for God and a love for people. And so I honor them for what they do in this house with the kids and things like that. Hallelujah.